exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church PA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
I believe that today's word is a word that many of us, if not all of us, can identify with. And so as I said, for the next few weeks, we're just going to preach and teach on one word. So it's more of a topical series than anything else. And I believe that the word of today and the word for today is going to be a word that many of us know we need more of, but don't do enough of. Matter of fact, some of you guys are probably not going to like this message a whole lot. Some of you guys are like, I'm getting nervous. Let me go ahead and act like I need to go to the bathroom so I can make my way to the car. But this is going to be a word that I know will challenge us, but I hope we find the comfort of God in it. And so if you got a Bible, I want to encourage us to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And if you don't have a Bible, we actually have it on the screen for you guys to follow along. And for those of us who have a church background, some of this may be familiar. And for those of us, you don't know anything about Jesus, you've never been to a church service, this, matter of fact, is your first time, and we hope that you love it, and we hope that you encounter God here. But this scripture is a very powerful scripture that I believe is something that God is speaking to all of us in here today. I've talked to many people in our church who can identify with this right now, and I hope that God speaks to us and that after today's service and sermon that you would feel encouraged by it. And so Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, here's what our Lord Jesus says, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's also talking to those who are listening. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." You know what that's code for? Tired. Tired, just exhausted. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You notice that he said it more than once. Maybe Jesus knows something. Maybe Jesus is on to something. Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What is the word for today? The one word for today that we're going to spend the next few moments talking about is simple: rest. Y'all don't like that already? Not popular? You were looking for something a little bit more creative and more fancy. Tell the person beside you, rest. 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 Find somebody else and tell them rest. Already some of us are feeling convicted. And here's the reality. The reality is all of us in here, we need rest. All of us need rest. I don't care how gifted you are, how talented you are, how much you know, how many degrees you have, what kind of work ethic you have. Those things may be true. Those things are awesome. But all of us, every single person in here needs rest. And when I say rest, I'm not just talking about the type of rest that we get when we sleep. I'm talking about rest where we begin to take a break from things. Matter of fact, today is Mother's Day, and many of you as moms can identify with this. I'm pretty sure that many of you have said multiple times, "I need a day off." Let's just be honest, moms. How many of you guys have said that, right? You try not to say it to your husband because you don't want him to feel bad, but you've said it to God plenty of times. "I need a day off, Lord. You need to do something about these kids and this man," right? All of us need rest, especially you as moms. You're working and you're preparing homes and you're taking care of families. You're helping out with homework. You're running a soccer practice. You're running a basketball practice. You're doing all these different extracurricular activities as well. And it seems like you don't even have any time for yourself at all. And moms, let's be honest, sometimes you can get so caught up with taking care of everybody else that you don't have any time to take care of yourself. So you come in here today maybe feeling tired. And guys, don't think that I'm leaving you out either, because as men or even as fathers and as husbands, you too can feel how you need rest. You feel exhausted. You feel tired. You feel as if the week just never ends. Rest in the biblical context, especially the text that we're reading today, it simply means this: to cease from something. It means to find relief. In other words, it's not just intentionally getting sleep. You can get 8 hours of sleep and still not be rested. So it's not just about getting sleep. It's intentionally bringing an end to things and having a break in things for the sole purpose of being refreshed. It's about ceasing from works. It's about having a break in your schedule. You need rest. And if you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to know that you need rest and you can experience rest. And this text that we've read already, it has everything to do with what we're talking about today as it relates to rest. And just to give us some context of what Jesus is saying here, a few verses prior to this, he's on the heels of rebuking people in all these different towns where he's performed many miracles. And the reason why he's rebuking them is because in spite of them, in spite of all the miracles that they've seen Jesus do, they still don't believe who he is. They still don't trust who he is. They still have doubt and worry about who he is. Let me pause parenthetically. It's oftentimes not that God needs to do more miracles for us to believe. God isn't the problem. We're the problem. Right? Like many of us, I remember when I was in school, you know, I would say things like this: God, if you can just get me out of this one, I'll trust and believe. And he's like, you said that like 10 times ago. And here's what was crazy. And because of my love, I actually did it. But the problem is not God doing miracles. The problem is with our faith. We got a belief problem. We got a trust problem. Matter of fact, resting is all about trusting. And so I'm going to get into that in a moment, but it's all about trusting God. So I think our lack of rest does not necessarily speak to the fact that we don't have time. It's that we don't trust our time to God. That's what it's about. Got one golf clap right there. It's okay. Got my amen corner with me. Rest is all about getting a break. But this whole context of the scripture is how Jesus was performing all these different miracles and the people still did not believe in who he said he was. Didn't believe him. And even as the text went on, in the next few verses, before the verses that we read, he begins to now juxtapose or compare the difference between the teaching of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that time, and how burdensome they were versus his type of teaching, which brings relief. Here's what the Pharisees would oftentimes teach. They would say, you got to do this to be right from God, to be right with God. You got to come to church every day of the week to be right with God. You got to read your scripture for an hour a day to be right with God. And Jesus comes to really simply say, it's not about what you do that makes you right with God. Because as a matter of fact, there's nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves right with God. What do I mean by when I say right with God? There's nothing that you and I can do to present ourselves as holy before God. There's nothing that you and I can do to come into a relationship with God. It's all about what Jesus does for us, which ushers us into a relationship with God. And I'm messing with some of our theologies because some of you guys came in here thinking today that because I cuss somebody out, I'm going to hell. No. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. The question is this: do you trust in who Jesus is, and do you trust in what he's done? Because when you believe in that and receive it by faith, you are now made holy and righteous before God. In other words, God sees you as righteous as he sees his son Jesus. Scripture talks about that any person who's in Christ, they are a new creature. The old is past, the new is come. That God made him, talking about Jesus, to become sin for us or to take upon himself our sinfulness so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. All of that is simply said like this. When you trust and believe in Jesus, you are made right with God. You automatically come into a relationship with God. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with what you have done. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done for you. That is the gospel. That's why it's called good news. Bad news was all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If there's one thing that all of us know how to do well in here, it's sin. And nobody had to teach you how. Nobody had to teach you how. Me and my wife are constantly amazed at how our children would do things that we know we did not teach them how to do that are straight wrong. Did you eat all your cereal? Yes. You got a whole bowl, dude. Who taught you that? We didn't teach you how to lie. Because scripture talks about how we're born into sin and shaped in iniquity. It comes naturally. And so the only one who can break that, the only one who can do something about that, is Jesus himself. So he comes, he dies on the cross for our sins, he resurrects on the third day, he ascends back to the Father, now seated at the right hand of the Father. He sends his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us as a guarantee of our salvation. But that's not even what this whole message is about. That's more so foundational. But that's what Jesus is talking about here. That's the foundation that he's laying here to go into what he would say next, which is the verses that we've read in the word for today. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He begins to speak about rest, and he helps us to understand some truths as it relates to rest and how we can experience rest, because I believe that many of you came in here today exhausted from life, tired right now, sick and tired of having to pay all these bills, sick and tired of the baby mama coming after you for child support that you've already paid, sick and tired of your boss constantly getting on your case, sick and tired of the car breaking down, sick and tired of all the things that are happening at your kid's school. You are exhausted. But here's good news. Jesus wants you to experience rest today. That's the word for today, rest. And here in these verses, Jesus gives us some principles that I want to kind of focus on, and then we'll be done as it relates to rest. Number one, he helps us to understand that he is the source of rest. Notice what he says in verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Notice what he says next. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He acknowledges that we are weary, y'all. He acknowledges that we are burdened from all the religious acts of the Pharisees that they try to impose on people. But he also acknowledges that we are just weary from life. Exhausted from life. And many of us in here, you came in here exhausted from everything in life. Asking the question, God, when will relief come? And you feel exhausted to the point where you feel like you have absolutely nothing left to give. And I'm sure if I asked us to raise our hands, if that's you, many of us will put those hands up. Because that's what you feel right now. Exhausted. Depleted. Matter of fact, for many of us, it was a struggle for you even to get up and go to church service this morning. You rolled over in your bed for hours. You woke up at 6 because you couldn't sleep throughout the course of the night. You were wrestling with whether or not you were even going to come to service this morning. But something on the inside compelled you. That was the Holy Spirit of God moving you to be here. And that's what happened. And why did God do that? Because he wants you to understand that he is the source of rest. He alone is the source of rest, not anything else. All of us in here, we're going to get tired. All of us get tired. No matter how much Red Bull you drink, no matter how many cups of caffeinated coffee you drink, no matter how much Starbucks you get, that's not going to change the fact that you are exhausted. We all get tired, but the question is, where do you go when you're in need of rest? Because that's when the problem usually presents itself. Because all of us turn to something in here when we're tired. All of us turn to something in here. Let me kind of walk down your street for a moment. All of us turn to something. Some of us turn to more work, thinking that that's the solution. Some of us turn to the club. I just need to go to the club. I need to release. Oh, y'all real spiritual today? Oh, I'm sorry. Many of us have been delivered from that. I used to go to the club when I was tired. many of us go to social media when we're tired. I just need to see what everybody else is posting about. I need to get life from other people's lives. Like all of us have some type of a well that we go to when we are exhausted. But the problem is, when we go to the wrong source, it leaves us feeling more exhausted than we actually came to the source in the first place. How many of you guys have ever been on a vacation? You're like, I just need a vacation. And then you came back saying, I need a vacation from the vacation. Right? Y'all ain't never had that happen? Like you rested so much that you needed more rest, right? You ever slept like 15 hours and then still felt tired? Because it's bigger than just the tangible things that we do. That's important, but it's bigger than that. That's not the source of things. The source of our rest is not going to come in the things that we typically do. Those things are good. It's not going to always come through exercise. And the reason why many of us feel exhausted still is because we turn to people. We turn to habits. We turn to social media. We turn to work. But here's what Jesus is saying today. Would you just give me a shot? Would you just try me? You've tried everything else. You've tried the workout plan. You've tried the diet. You've tried the pills. You tried some things that you probably should not have tried. You've tried alcohol, all those things you've tried thinking that it would give you a relief. You've tried smoking, you've tried weed, you've tried, the list just goes on and on and on. And we still feel exhausted. And Jesus is sitting here today saying, would you just try the rest that I give? Because I have a rest to offer you where it will truly satisfy your soul. That you won't leave my presence saying, I'm exhausted. No. You will leave my presence saying, I feel revived. I feel alive. Matter of fact, a perfect example of this is a story in the book of John chapter 4, just to kind of give you a paraphrase. There was this woman, she constantly went to the well during the hottest part of the day because she was ultimately trying to avoid other women during that time because she had a reputation of all having all these different husbands and this husband and that husband. And she comes to the well because she's thirsty. Jesus happens to be there. No. Jesus knows when you need what you need. And he happened to show up coincidentally, but it was really providentially because that's how God does. He knows the things that you need when you need it, and he shows up right on time. The old church will say he may not come when you want him to come, but he will be there right on time. So he shows up to the well, and he has this conversation. He asks her, hey, could you give me a drink? And she says, sir, you don't have a bucket to draw anything with. But Jesus was trying to help her understand something. I'm not asking you for a drink because I need it. I'm asking you to help you see that you need something. And so Jesus begins to tell her, the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. You know what she says? Sir, give me this water. I'm thirsty. Jesus satisfies her soul, transforms her life. And here's what was crazy. She came to the well with a water bucket, and she leaves the water bucket at the well. The very thing she thought she needed, she realized she didn't because Jesus gave her something greater. Why did I say all that? To help you understand that true rest, true satisfaction is not going to come in our little pet hobbies. It's not going to come in all the other activities that we do. Those things are great, but you got to put them in context. They were never meant to be the true source to sustain you through the fatigue seasons of life. And many of us in here, you're right in the middle of a fatigue season. You are exhausted right now. And Jesus says, come to me. I know you're tired. I know you're burdened, but I will give you rest. Jesus is the source of our rest. Here's what Psalm 62 verse 1 says. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. My soul finds rest in God, not in anything else. And then in verse 5, the psalm writer, Psalm 62, that same exact song, he says this. Yes, my soul, find rest in God because my hope comes from him. Do y'all see the pattern here? Rest is found in the Lord. Nothing else, y'all. Not in a better job. Not in a 3-week vacation. That's good. It's going to refresh you. But it's not going to satisfy your soul. Psalm 127 says this. Some of us, this will convict us. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. Anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. And many of us, man, you're working to the bone every day. Every day. Many of us don't even realize that you are maybe one more week away from a nervous breakdown because you're not resting. Many of us in here say, man, I'm good. Like, I know I need rest, but I'll push it along. I'll push it along. I'll push it along. There have been studies that have been proven that when your body lacks the rest that it needs from a physical standpoint, it has grave impact on you. Matter of fact, I knew somebody years ago when I was younger who passed away, and when the doctors diagnosed why she died, you know what they said? Because she didn't rest her body. God brought you here today to let some of us know you're in trouble. You're headed down a dead end path. But he also brought you here today to let you know, I want to give you rest. I want to restore joy to you. I want to restore vision. That's why many of us in here, man, you walk around, you know, discouraged and deflated because you don't have time to rest. You're not resting your soul. You're not resting your mind. You're not resting your body. You constantly feel exhausted. True rest is found only in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll say it like this, that the restlessness that I have is only settled by the rest that God gives. Many of you are restless right now, and you've been trying to figure out the answer to this whole thing. And God is saying, I'm the answer. In me, you find rest. I'm the one who gives you rest. Jesus is the only one that we can find rest in. And the good news is that he offers it to us today. I love how Jesus says this. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I know how you feel. I know you're exhausted. I know you're tired of fighting with that person. I know you're exhausted from the stress. I know you're feeling beat down. I know you're feeling discouraged right now. I know the bills just continue just to mount up, and you feel like you got to work this and work that and get this job and get that job. But Jesus is saying, would you just pause and seek me? Would you just pause and come to me? Because when you come to me, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is when all these other things will be added unto you. If you would just come to me, then you will know that I've already provided to meet all of your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If you would just come to me, I will satisfy your soul. And many of us in here, we've been trying to find satisfaction for our soul. This relationship, this habit, more overtime, this thing, that thing, and it constantly leaves us feeling more burdened. But Jesus is saying here today, I want to give you rest. He tells us that he is the source of rest, but he also helps us understand that there's a pattern to rest. Notice what he says in verses 29 through 30. After he says, come to me, all that labor, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at what he says. He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will then find rest from your souls. Here's what Jesus is helping us understand, that there is a pattern to how we should rest. And the pattern for how we should rest is us learning how we should rest from God. That's the pattern. Now, many of us in here, when you see words like yoke and burden and all this type of stuff, that means nothing to us, because when Jesus was saying this, he was speaking to a very highly agricultural type of society. And so when he says words like, yo, you thinking of eggs? Scrambled, boiled, right? Okay, it was much funnier in my head than it actually happened. But no. What you got to understand is that in that context, that first century context, or the Jewish context, yokes were these wooden crossbars, these beams that would connect one animal to another for the whole purpose of being able to plow fields more efficiently. In other words, they would yoke two animals together to be able to go further, to be able to do more. Do y'all see what Jesus is trying to hint at here? He says the reason why you're not able to move forward in life and be as fruitful in life is because you are trying to do it on your own. But when you get yoked up with me, when you get connected with me, that is when you will find purpose. That is when you will find fruit. That is when you will find satisfaction and joy. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Yes, it's going to be some work, but not the work that you've been trying to do. He tells us to come to him and learn from him, because this is the pattern. He says, learn my ways, learn from me, because in doing so, we experience his rest. The pattern that Jesus gives us is to follow him, is to do the things that he wants us to do, to go according to biblically how we should rest. How does this look fundamentally? How does this look? One of the biggest ways fundamentally this looks is by bringing all of our cares to him. Many of us in here, the reason why you feel so burdened down, the reason why you feel so distracted, the reason why you feel so depressed and so discouraged and so defeated is because you are carrying burdens that you were never meant to carry in the first place. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, cast all your cares and your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Notice what the writer says, what Peter says, cast all your cares, all of them. You look in Webster's dictionary, what does all mean? All. You interpret the Greek word all, you know what that means? All. In Hebrew, all. Here's the reason why this is important for us, because many of us, we compartmentalize the cares that we give to God. So we give some of our cares to God, but we don't give all of them. God, you handle the spiritual things. The Bible reading, the praying, the worshiping. But I got to handle this whole job situation, God. I got to handle this relationship issue. You know what God is saying today? Cast all those cares, all the things that are stressing you out right now. Give them to me. Come to me. I can handle it. I can handle it. I think here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you want to know how I can handle your problems? That's how. Some of y'all missed it. You want to know how I can say, bring all your cares to me, all your weights, all your discouragement, all your lack of rest? You want to know how I can say that? Some of y'all still not getting it. You want to know how I can say, bring to me your financial issue, bring to me your emotional issue, bring to me your mental and psychological issue, bring to me your spiritual issue? Some of us still not getting it. Let me help us understand something. He says, the reason why I can say that is because on the cross, I took upon myself the greatest weight that anybody could carry. And if I can handle your sin, and if I can handle their sin, I can handle your bills. I can handle your stress. I can handle your anxiety. All I want you to do is to bring it to me. That's it. That's it. That's what he's asking us to do, to cast all of our cares on him. And many of us in here, man, you don't have rest in your life because you're carrying things that only God was meant to carry. This is one thing that God has constantly convicted me of, even as a pastor, because the things that I typically stress about, God will typically convict me and say, you're stressing about something that I'm supposed to do. Your job is faithfulness. My job is fruitfulness. Your job is just to do what I told you to do. My job is the result. Okay, so you're taking notes and get, you know, a sticky statement. Your job is obedience. God's job is outcome. When you focus on what God has told you to do, he takes care of the outcome. He takes care of the results. And many of us, the reason why we can't obey God is because we're already trying to figure out how is it going to work out. And God is sitting here saying, if you just focus on what I've called you to do, the outcome will take care of itself because I'm behind it. That's why many of us in here struggle with rest, because we don't know how a situation is going to work out. We don't know how it's going to happen. But he says here, cast all your cares. You can rest easy when you trust everything to God. What does this also look like practically? And this is where it's going to get a little tight. Because all throughout the scripture, matter of fact, in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 3, you see something amazing happen. It talks about the history of how God created everything. The heavens and the earth, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He did all that in 6 days. But then the Bible says something in particular that I want to take notice of. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says this. By the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. He rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. What is the writer of Genesis saying here? That God took a nap? God said, man, I'm beat. I'm exhausted. I'm going to take a whole day and sleep. No. Remember what I said. Rest in the biblical context means to cease from doing something. So notice what God is trying to help us understand. He created everything in 6 days. He worked harder than all of us in here combined. Guys, he created the sun and the moon. When last time you did that? Right? Like, you and I complain about the job that we have, and God's like, really? Really? You ever made a star before? You ever made a human being before? But you know what he did on the seventh day? After he was done with everything, he rested. He rested. Why did God do this? He didn't rest because he needed it. He rested because we needed it. He rested to give us a pattern for how we should live our life, which is why later on in the Old Testament, you would see things like honor the Sabbath, because in the Old Testament, the seventh day was typically called the Sabbath day, and that day was all about taking a break and ceasing from the work that was being done the previous 6 days to be a day of worship and reflection and refreshing from God. That's what it was about. Here's how this applies to us. I'll tell a story just to give us a window into what I'm about to say. I went to China about 12 years ago. And one of the things that our tour guides told us in China was that people there more often than not work not 5 days a week, not 6 days a week, but 7 days a week. And I remember immediately thinking, That's not how God designed us to be. He never called us to work every day of our lives. Even throughout the course of the week, he never called us to work 7 days a week. And I hear what some of us are saying, but Pastor, you don't know my job. My boss is inhumane. They just don't care nothing about nobody. And I get it that there are some times where weeks may run together. I get it that there's some times where you may have to work a little bit more. But I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about the characteristic of your life, the pattern of your life. Is it characterized by you working all the time? Or is it characterized as me working and resting, working and resting, working and resting, working and resting? Because that's what God did. And many of us in here, you're working 8 days a week. We know how that's possible. You're working every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You're doing something that God didn't even do. It's too tight. It's a little too real. Hitting home right now. It got me too. God is saying, you need rest. God is inexhaustible. He never gets exhausted. He never gets tired. The scripture talks about how he never sleeps nor slumbers. You and I, we need sleep and slumber. You and I, if we don't have a break in our schedule will break us. You need a break in your life. Matter of fact, let me say this. Many of us are waiting for a breakthrough, but God's like, you can't have a breakthrough without having a break first. You need a break. And you can't be ashamed of taking a break. You're not going to get a badge of honor. Oh my goodness, they work 7 days a week. What you going to get, an extra check? What benefit is it for you to have an extra check if you're 6 feet under and can't spend it? What good is it to have more money in the bank but you never see your family, you never see your kids? What good is it if you're constantly working all the time? And here's the reason why many of us constantly work, and I'm not, by all means, I'm not trying to condemn us, I'm not trying to throw any, for lack of better words, shade at us, I'm trying to help us. But here's oftentimes what I've realized even from my own life, the reason why we work so much, there's nothing wrong working hard, but the reason why we typically work more than we should is because we're trying to prove something. We're trying to be accepted by people. And God is saying, you've been accepted by me. You have nothing to prove to people. You don't live for the opinions of people. If you live for the approval of people, you'll die from their rejection. God is saying, you've been accepted and been approved by me. I poured out the blood of my son on Calvary's cross. I resurrected him on the third day so that way you could be accepted and be a part of my family. You don't have to work yourself into my family. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. And if people make you prove yourself to them, then they're not worth you being in your life in the first place. He says, you need to rest. You need a day, at least one, where you're resting. You need a day where you're taking a break from things. When God was creating things, when we say God, we mean our triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, one God, eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Spirit of God, co-equal, co-eternal, created things for 6 days and then rested, not because he needed it, but because we do. From a spiritual and practical perspective, the reason why God established the Sabbath in the first place was for people to get rest. Now, as New Testament believers, we don't observe the Sabbath the way the Pharisees were imposing it on people. They would say things like, if you don't do it this way, God doesn't love you anymore. If you don't keep it to a T, God doesn't love you anymore. And Jesus was like, hold on, that's not, no. You've missed the whole purpose. Man wasn't made for Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. That's what Jesus was saying in Mark chapter 2. And he's saying this because he wants us to understand that the principle is that all of us need a day of rest. It gives you a break mentally. It gives you a break emotionally. You need a break. Moms in here, let me speak to you. There is nothing wrong with you saying, I need a day to myself. And some of us feel guilty even having that thought because you've been so accustomed to doing things. You're not a bad mom because you take a break one day and have babysitters and family members and husbands do what they're actually supposed to do. You're not the worst mom in the world. And many of you feel exhausted and tired because you do so much and you do so much well. And God is saying, matter of fact, you need a day of rest so that way you can be an even better mom and a better wife to your household. Many of us as fathers in here and as husbands in here, you're working overtime, providing for your family. Man, kudos to you. You're doing an awesome job. That's great. But you too need a rest. You need a break in your schedule. God never called you to work every day, all day, 7 days a week. For me, as a pastor, my rest day is not typically like most of us in here. My rest day is not on Sunday. This is work right here. You see me sweating? Part of it's because of these lights. We're still working on that, so bear with us. We thank you for bearing with us. But this is work for me. My rest day is not on Sunday. My rest day is on Monday. So tomorrow, don't call me. Don't Facebook me. Don't text me. Don't do nothing. Don't show up at my door. I'm just messing. I mean, don't, but I'm just, you know, I didn't mean it like that. But that's my rest day. So you know what I'm doing on this rest day? I'm listening to sermons. I'm getting refueled. I'm spending time with God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm spending time in prayer. I'm hanging out with the fam. I spend time with my fam all throughout the course of the week. But on that day, like, everything stops. All ministry stops. I'm not thinking about preaching the next sermon, even though sometimes, like, God just speaks. I'm not thinking about this thing that has to be done. I'm not thinking about that thing that has to be done. No, that's my day off. That is my Sabbath day. That is the day where I cease from doing what I typically do 6 days a week. You got to have a break. You got to have a break. Because if you don't have a break, you will have a breakdown. If you don't have a break, you will have a breakdown. And many of us in here, you're on the verge of it. And God is saying, you need a break. I've talked to countless pastors plenty of times who feel burnt out and who feel exhausted. And you know what typically that comes to? Because they don't have a regular day off of rest. You need a Sabbath day. You need a day of rest. And when Jesus says, take upon my yoke, learn from me, learn my ways. He's talking about learning the ways of God. He's talking about, one, you find true rest in him. So in other words, you don't have to do the works that the Pharisees say in order for you to be accepted by God. No, I've done the work for you to be accepted by God. All you got to do is receive it by faith. But he's also helping us understand something, that our daily living, our weekly living should have a routine of rest. Here's my question to you. What day do you spend just resting? Resting. Resting, doing things that bring life back into you. One of the things that I love to do, just to be transparent, on my rest day, I love to play basketball. Ask my wife, I just love to play basketball. I love to play basketball. I love to listen to sermons. I love to read my Bible. That's what I love to do on my rest day. It's not a whole lot. Go to soccer practice, come home from soccer practice. I'm doing regular things that help me to bring a break to what I was doing the 6 days prior to that. So now what happens is on Monday, I'm working from rest. Do y'all see this? So now I'm rested to now be able to go do what God has called me to do. And until you have a day of rest, you will never be able to truly function at the level and capacity that God has called you to function at. You need a day of rest. You need a day of rest. So what's your day of rest? Maybe your work schedule is different, so maybe for some of us it's Tuesday, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Saturday. Some of us are saying right now, I don't have a day of rest. Today you need to get one. You need to get one. Because the one thing I don't want to do is have to come to the hospital and visit you because of all the things that are going on in your life because you don't have a consistent day of rest. I don't want that. That's not a good look for the kingdom of God. That doesn't really bring glory to God. You need a day of rest. And don't let the enemy condemn you for it. Because he will. I was talking to a good friend of mine who recently, the past 2 weeks, had a crazy week. He was just going here and going there and preaching here and preaching there. And he said, man, I just need to take 2 days of rest. And so he had to actually cancel one of his meetings that he was scheduled for. He told that person, he said, I'm not going to be able to make this particular meeting. And you know what the person said? They emailed him back and said, I'm disappointed in you. Wow. And he was like, now, bro, honestly, the first thing I wanted to do was like, what? I'm a grown man. What you mean you disappointed in me? Don't pay my bills. What you doing? But he says, but then I realized it was more of a spiritual attack than anything else. It was the enemy trying to condemn me for being obedient to the word that God had called me to submit to, which was rest. Best believe the enemy will try to condemn you. People will ask you, why you need a day off? I don't have one. That's your problem. That's why you crazy now. That's why you snapping on people now. Just because you ain't got a day don't mean I don't get a day. I'm going to take my day. I'm going to enjoy it. And not just a day. I know we're getting ready to go into summer. We're pretty much here. School's getting ready to get out. Families, man, you need to go and rest together as families. Go on vacation. Husbands, wives, parents, don't take work with you. Like, don't make it a working vacation. Make it a vacation. Where it's just you and your spouse, where you guys have time to connect with God and connect with one another. Where it's time for you to connect with God, connect with one another, and connect with your kids. Your kids ain't gonna be the same age that they are right now. Rest. Rest. And I believe if we as a church could understand this, we as a church could be more fruitful. We as a church can minister to more people. We as a church could have more of the Holy Spirit's power because he's working through rested people versus weary people. He's working through charged people, revived people, refreshed people versus people who are constantly exhausted. Resting is all about you trusting God. Never feel guilty about obeying what God has told you to do. I'll say it like this and then I'm closing. When we follow God's pattern, we experience God's blessing. What is his pattern? His pattern is that you and I have a consistent time of rest. And so I want to just give us a simple foundation. How you should rest, start with seeking God. It's a day of worship. Start your day of rest saying, God, I thank you so much for how you've provided. I thank you so much for how you've blessed me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for how you've opened up doors. Thank you for how you got me through last week. Spend time reading his word. Open up the app. Go to the website. Listen to the previous week's sermon to get refreshed for your soul. And then go do some things that bring life into you. Go work out. Go walk. Go enjoy nature. Do some yard work. Do something that pumps life back into you. Get off social media. That ain't gonna pump life into you. That'll make you covet more things, if anything else. Get off that stuff. Take a break from it. The world will still continue with you taking a break from social media. I mean, I hate to tell you that. It was here before social media. It probably will be. I don't know if it'll be here after. So, I mean, but still, you get the point. You need a break, man. Do some things that you typically don't get a chance to do, man. Go out, treat yourself to breakfast, do something. And if this sounds very practical, it's because it is. I've given you the spiritual foundation, the spiritual principle. I want to give you the practice of it. Because many of us are like, man, I don't even know where to start. I haven't rested in so long. When was the last time you had a day off from your job? And many of us can't even remember when that was. Christmas? Man, you're about to fall out. And I'm saying that with a serious face. When last time you had a vacation? Last year? When last time you had a break? Months ago? God is calling you today. Find rest in me. I'm the source of your rest, and I give you the pattern of rest. And so if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, this is me. God has convicted me. And I know that I've needed to rest for the longest time. I know that I needed a break. I know that I was supposed to take this day off and that I need to actually get things together. And band, you guys can come on up. We're closing. I know that this is me. I know that I needed to do these things, but I just haven't. I thought I needed to work more. I worked more overtime. It got me more money, but it got me more exhausted at the same time. And I hear what some of us may be saying. I understand the weight that we wrestle with because you feel like if I don't do this, man, it's not going to work. If I don't work more, my needs aren't going to be provided for. If I don't do this, then this is not going to get taken care of. Do you not think that Jesus knew your need when he said to come to me? Because when you come to him, it's a sign of faith. Saying, Jesus, I'm trusting that you will meet the needs of my life, whatever they may be, emotionally, physically, psychologically, financially. A day off tells God, God, I'm trusting you. I believe that you'll provide for me. I believe that you'll comfort me. And I believe that many of us are right there. That's where you are. He's calling you to rest. To rest in him and to have regular rest patterns in your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is an honest moment. Honest moment. If you can say, this is me right here. I need to rest more. I need a day in my week, at least one, if not two. I can rest, but most of all, I need to find rest for my soul in Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. I got two appeals. This is the first. But if this is you and you're saying, I need this, I need to rest, God is speaking this to me. If this is you, while nobody's looking, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you just to raise your hand if this is you. Lift up your hand if this is you. Awesome. Thank you for your honesty. Come on. Lift up those hands. I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or anything else. If you're saying, this is me, I need to take more time off. I need to take more time for myself. Go ahead. Lift up your hand. Come on. Like part of you experiencing a breakthrough is you admitting it. You need to lift up your hand. Just admit it. Admit it. God wants to give you rest. Awesome. Amen. 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 Father, for every hand that's lifted, and even every hand that didn't get lifted, but hearts are weary, bodies are lacking, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us rest, that we would find rest first in a relationship with you through faith in Christ, but also as we come to you daily for rest, that you would refresh us, that you would replenish us, God. We repent of working like a dog every day, working like a slave every day. And today, God, we want to intentionally have rest in our lives. And so, Father, would you refresh our souls? We ask that you would refresh our hearts. We pray that you would refresh our minds today. We believe that you're doing it. We believe that you're transforming us. We believe, God, that you are impacting us even now. We believe that today new life is being pumped into us. Vitality is coming back to us, God. We believe that breakthrough is coming to us right now because we're deciding to take a break from all these things to point ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I need a relationship with God. I've been trying to do things on my own. I've been trying to make it on my own. I've been trying to walk on my own. I've been trying to provide for myself. And it hasn't been working. I've been trying to prove to God through my own quote-unquote good deeds that really aren't good enough that he can love me. But today I realize that it's not about what I do. It's about what Jesus has already done for me on the cross and through his resurrection. And today I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to find rest for my soul. I want to stop searching for significance because I want to receive the significance that Jesus gives. If this is you and you're saying, I want to become a follower of Christ, I want to become a part of the family of God, I want to give my life to Christ, while nobody's looking, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if this is you, on the count of three, I want you to raise up your hand so we can pray for you. If this is you, you're ready to give your life to Christ, lift up the hand. One, two, three. If that's you, you want to give your life to Christ this morning, lift up your hand. If that's you. If that's you. Amen. Amen. And if you're making a decision to give Christ your life this morning, I want you to say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you resurrected from the grave on the third day so that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. And thank you for giving me rest for my weary soul. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God is doing. Amen. Amen. So hey, a few things really quick. Nobody moving. If you just made a decision to give Christ your life, here's what I want you to do. Pull out that worship guide. In it, you may have saw a connection card.